Welcome to a DerivSource podcast. I have with me today Professor Craig Perrong, who is a professor of finance and energy markets and also the director for Global Energy Management Institution at Bauer College of Business and the University of Houston. Now, some of you know Professor Perrong from his blog, The Streetwise Professor. And Craig has been talking for a long time about the unintended consequences of some of the elements of ongoing regulatory reform and specifically the mandated central clearing of some OTC derivatives. And today I'd like us to really discuss some of the specific risks that are related to the repo market as a result of the collateral and liquidity squeeze that will come with central clearing, of course, among other risks that are really prominent coming forward or potentially prominent going forward. And firstly, Craig, if you will, we've got some new users here that might actually need a bit of an update as to why firms are looking to the repo market either directly or indirectly to get the assets required to support the new CCP collateral requirement. So would you mind giving us a little bit of an explanation to begin with?
Sure. So basically, not just there's the new clearing mandates that are going to go into the effect in the United States in 2013 and probably in Europe a little bit later are going to require market participants who previously might have been able to enter into derivatives positions without posting collateral are now going to have to post collateral in order to trade derivatives and hold derivatives positions. And part of this is due to the clearing mandates, but also there's going to be mandatory collateralization of OTC derivatives as well. And so then the question is, where does this collateral going to come from? You know, where's cash going to come from, or where's collateral that's eligible to be posted at CCPs, where's that going to come from? A lot of market participants may not have the necessary assets in their portfolio, and so they might want to use the repo market in order to essentially transform the assets that they do have in their portfolio to things that can be posted as collateral at a clearinghouse or in a OTC derivatives transaction that's not cleared.
Okay, perfect. And delving deeper into the use of the repo market directly, you mentioned collateral transformation already. When you're talking to people in the market, how do you see them developing their activities to access the repo market? Can you just explain some of the scenarios that you're seeing those prominently?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, so there are a couple issues. One is that in terms of, you know, accessing cash to post either as variation margin or as, initial margin, firms might use the repo market directly in order to get the cash, which they then post as collateral. But also in terms of, particularly for posting initial margin, most clearinghouses do permit margin be posted in, for example, high-quality government securities instead of cash. And so these various collateral transformation services are sort of an indirect way of accessing the repo market in order to get collateral for posting as margin. So somebody that has assets that are not eligible to be posted at a CCP can go to a bank, use those assets as collateral, and get in exchange assets that can be posted at a CCP. And that's sort of a likely way that this market is going to move going forward.
Okay, perfect. And talking about the liquidity risk to the repo market now, this is a concern that people are already talking quite a lot about, the potential increase in liquidity risk as a result of this increased activity for the repo market, and particularly the risks that may be more prominent, of course, in times of market stress. Can you talk to us a little bit about the liquidity risk that you see for the repo market and of course, in different scenarios that might be some of the unintended kind of consequences or impacts that people should be aware of?
Sure. There are a couple, and I think that they are things that are worth taking very seriously, in particular since the whole idea behind central clearing is supposedly to reduce systemic risk. We need to look at how clearing is going to perform during a systemic crisis, period of systemic stress, and there are some concerns regarding the repo and collateral transformation during those periods of time. So, for example, one of the things that we saw during the last financial crisis is that haircuts on collateral particularly non-government security collateral. Those haircuts rose dramatically during the time of the financial crisis last time. So if we had a replay of something like that, firms that had posted or used these less liquid forms of assets as collateral in a repo transaction might see the haircuts on that collateral go up dramatically, meaning that they would either have to close out their positions, which could exacerbate price moves, or they would have to sell additional assets or do other things in order to be able to get the additional money that they would need to maintain those positions. And so all those things, so essentially what you would have is potentially people engaging in fire sales right at the time when the market's already under stress, and that's one of the sort of the doomsday loops that you have to worry about that turns a stress situation into a potential catastrophe. So I think that that's one issue. Another issue is just that when we do have we're going to observe, for example, big moves in prices. Example that comes to my mind is something like the crash of 1987. People are going to have to come up with a lot of additional money in a hurry, and they might have to do that at a time when traditional funding channels like the repo market are under stress and more costly to use. And that again can lead people to either default on their positions because they can't come up with the cash that they need to make their margin calls, or having to essentially liquidate losing positions in order to reduce their needs for cash. And again, these are the sorts of things that can create a feedback mechanism that makes things worse. So those are the kinds of things that you have to worry about, essentially that these mechanisms can set off sort of self-feeding feedback mechanisms that and working in a very tight, short time schedule that can really exacerbate the impact of market shocks.
And just out of curiosity, I know that a lot of people are worried about this and thinking about this risk related to the repo market, and specifically with collateral transformation becoming more popular as a concept. Are you seeing that people are aware of this potential risk either now or in times of market stress? Are they talking about it in your own circles?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that people are aware of and are becoming increasingly aware of, particularly in the dealer community, for example, maybe less so in the regulatory community, but I think that they're becoming more aware of it as well, and I think that that's sort of very important, is that that they become more cognizant of the kinds of risks here, so that they can keep an eye on that and understand how policies that they undertake might essentially impose even more stress on these repo market mechanisms.
And longer term, now you've talked about talking about the regulators becoming more and more aware perhaps of this potential concern, but longer term, how do you think that the space should evolve, and are there any other points of advice that you would offer the market generally in terms of addressing these potential risks?
Well, one general point that I would offer is that I think particularly among regulators and sometimes among market participants is that they view collateralization mechanisms as something that improves stability, and in sort of a microprudential way, on the if you have sort of a problem at one financial institution or one big counterparty, yeah, that's probably true. But more generally, you have to be aware that during periods of market stress, collateral mechanisms can actually be a way that contagion is spread. So I think that there has to be sort of a more awareness of that. And relatedly, in terms of policy, it would be, this raises the issue of what should be the role of central banks and their relationships with clearinghouses. With the derivatives markets more generally, and particularly with respect to clearinghouses, there's this bailout-a-phobia. Oh, we don't want central banks, the Fed, whomever, providing liquidity to CCPs in the event that, for example, a big default on a clearinghouse or a couple of big defaults by members of a clearinghouse. I think that attitude is very dangerous, and that there really has to be serious thought given to providing liquidity support to clearinghouses, particularly during these times of systemic risk, central banks can be lenders of last resort to clearinghouses as well to financial institutions, without creating, and as a way of addressing liquidity issues, without creating moral hazard issues.
And my final question is, this is one of many concerns about liquidity and the unintended consequences kind of going forward. Are there other concerns with liquidity or just, again, unintended consequences that you think people should be aware of or will become a little bit more apparent in the coming months or year?
Yes, because it's important not to view these things in isolation. We've been focusing on clearinghouses. That's one potential reason for a big increase in the demand for liquid assets, but it's by no means the only one. So we also have the OTC margining mandates. And in addition, we have the Basel III rules on liquidity. And in addition, we're seeing restrictions on hypothecation of collateral. So essentially everything, every major regulatory initiative around the world is leaning on these liquidity mechanisms. And you can't view these things in isolation, and you have to be aware that, that all of these major regulatory initiatives are potentially imposing stress on these liquidity mechanisms.
Okay, great. I think that's a last good point to end on here. So thank you to Professor Craig Perrong for sharing his insight with us today. And thank you for those who've tuned in to today's DerivSource podcast. Join us next time.